The word preached, there's a verse that we'd like to read together. That's Isaiah 40 and verse 8. Let's read it together. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated.
Have you encountered the resurrected Christ? I mean more than just hearing about him. Have you personally encountered the resurrected Christ? If you have, it changes everything. This morning I want you to see from Matthew chapter 28. You can turn there if you have your Bible. The words will be on the screen behind me. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to see empty hearts and empty tombs and the living Christ. Empty hearts, empty tombs, and the living Christ. Would you pray with me before we read these words together? Father, we need you in this moment, O God, because we, apart from you, Lord Jesus, are filled with emptiness. We have an empty hole in our heart, in our lives. And so, oh God, even in this moment, I pray that if there's anyone here who has not encountered the resurrected Christ, whose hole has not been filled with life, God, that you would do that by the power of your Spirit through the teaching of your word. And Lord, for those of us who have been filled and who do recognize and understand that the tomb is empty and therefore our tombs or graves will one day be empty. Oh God, I pray that you would deepen our hope and our faith and our love, and that you would be worshiped to an even greater degree in our lives, in the lives of every person in this room, and in the lives of men and women, boys and girls from among the nations, the people of the world. And so speak, Lord, your servants are listening. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Empty hearts. The women that you're going to be introduced to in Matthew chapter 28, their hearts are grieved. It's a moment of pain for them. Why? Because the one that they had given their life to, the one that they had followed, the one that they had dedicated themselves to, has been dead now for 2 days. And now it's the third day after his death. And they're going to go to his tomb in order to anoint his body as even greater preparation for his burial. And so we pick up the story there. After the death of Christ. After that dark night. And for these women and the men that will enter in towards the end of this passage, you might could say a dark night of the soul. So we'll begin in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Mary Magdalene was there on the first day of the week, that Sunday morning, after having experienced what you could argue was a dark night of the soul. This woman who met Jesus years before this account, prior to meeting Jesus, she was a woman who was living in sin and rebellion. In fact, the Bible says that she was possessed by demons. Her life was filled with prostitution and idolatry and in brokenness. In brokenness and with an empty heart. She tried to fill it with the things of this world. And I just wonder if there are people in this room who are trying to fill the emptiness of this life with the things of this world. In some way, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Thinking that in sex, that in drugs, that in alcohol, that in relationships, that in work, that in education, that in some of the best things in this life that there are, that they can fill the empty hole in their soul. Mary, maybe she looked like this before meeting Christ. A woman who was used and abused. A woman who was controlled ultimately by Satan. Oh, but that day when she met Jesus. And he spoke to her in a way that no man ever had, because this man, Jesus, did not want to use her for her body. No, he came to love her and to give his body for her on the cross and to pay for her sin, to pay for her rebellion, to pay for her darkness, and to free her from demonic and satanic oppression. Do you remember the moment when she bowed at Jesus' feet and washed Jesus' feet with her hair? And she went from a wounded and broken and sinful woman to a woman, see this next picture, a woman who was free, a woman of worship, a woman of life. And yet the one that she loved was now dead, and she was grieving and she was mourning, and the darkness of Friday, the darkness of Friday, the darkness of night was now, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, being overcome by the light, by the sun, by the dawn of the first day of the week. It was early in the morning, and she and another woman named Mary, they came to the tomb expecting it to be shut, expecting to have to get in and anoint the body of their Savior, their Lord, their Master. But when they got there, the stone had already been rolled away. How? An angel, a created being by God, descended and came down to earth. An angel that looked like, well, his appearance was like lightning. And he was white, white as snow. Not like the angels you see in the Hallmark store. No, not like a chubby cherubim that you push his belly and go, heep, heep. Nothing like that. No, this angel was so mighty and strong and powerful and holy that even the Roman guards who were there at the tomb guarding it to protect it from tomb thieves, even these special ops, you might say, even these army rangers, you might say, even these Navy SEALs, you might say, men who had seen some of the most gruesome and vicious situations and circumstances that this life has to offer, men who were and had been on the battlefield, men who were tough, men who were brave, men who were strong, in the presence of this created being, this angel that God sent in this cataclysmic moment, when they saw this angel, they were terrified. And these brave men fell on their backs as though dead. And they trembled. Why? Because there was an earthquake. And the angel, maybe with his little pinky finger, pushed the stone away that was blocking the tomb. And then he sat on it. And the women saw him and he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. You are here at the tomb seeking Jesus," which is a great thing to do, by the way. I hope you came this morning, not because somebody forced you to, not because it's tradition that you come on Easter. I hope you came this morning seeking Jesus. I hope you recognize that he is worthy of your devotion. That's why they were there on Sunday morning on the Lord's Day. And the angel said, "I know why you're here. You're seeking Jesus who was crucified." They remembered his crucifixion. They didn't fully understand what was happening. Maybe you don't understand fully why Christ was crucified. You recognize that he who knew no sin, that is Jesus, on the cross became sin for us. That he took Mary Magdalene's sin and your sin and mine on himself as a substitute in our place. He died. And he was placed in the tomb. But the angel said, "The one who was crucified, he is not here." He's not here anymore, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. No, he is risen. He is risen. Like he told you he would be. In fact, the angel invited them to go inside the tomb. Look at the tomb. Look where he lay. He's not there anymore. Now, here's how you should respond, ladies. Go tell his disciples that he's alive. Go spread the news and do it quickly and do not be afraid. And so the women, they left the empty tomb and they were filled with fear. Why fear? Because there is a healthy fear when you encounter the authority and the power and the truth of God. They were reverently worshipful. They recognized that they were dealing with holy angels and a holy God who had authority over nature that could even cause the ground to shake. And so they were filled with fear, but not just fear. They were filled with great joy. They were filled with great joy. And on their way to see the disciples, lo and behold, Jesus met them personally, and they encountered in that moment the resurrected Christ. And how did they respond? They fell at his feet, and they worshiped him. Now, by the way, if you haven't learned this yet, you don't worship human beings. That's why you came this morning, right? So that I could tell you, don't worship human beings. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they recognized that Jesus was not just a human being. Do you recognize that? Jesus is and was God. That's right. God became a man. And God paid the penalty for your sin. And God defeated sin And he defeated death. And he defeated hell. And he defeated Satan. And he defeated demons. You say, why Easter? Is it eggs? Is it bunnies? No, it's better than that. So what about Easter? Here's the so what. One day, you're going to be placed in a hole. That is your body. It may look something like this. And the reason why you and I are going to be placed in a hole or an urn, if you go that route, is because we've all sinned. And because of sin, we earn death. And we could never pay for our own salvation. We could never do enough good. We could never be religious enough. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus was raised. Now you realize this, right? You have an enemy, and it is the grave. What are you going to do about your enemy? You have an enemy. You may not realize this. You can see the grave. The grave is because of sin. Do you recognize sin as your enemy? You may not realize it, but I'm here to tell you that you have a cosmic enemy as well. Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satan. You can't see him, but he's real. And he has workers. They're fallen angels. They're called demons. And he is the father of lies and deception and corruption and murder. And he would love for you to die in your sins and for your body to be buried and for your soul to go to hell. And for one day, your body and soul to be reunited and for your body and soul to spend forever in the lake of fire. Oh, but he does not have authority over you. He does not have authority over you. And in his grace and kindness and mercy, he's brought you here this morning to tell you the best news in the world. Better news than you'll hear from any other religion or any other ideology or any other classroom. The good news is that Jesus is the victor. He was victorious when he went toe to toe with death. He won. When Jesus went toe to toe with Lucifer, he won. When Jesus went toe to toe with sin, he won. Jesus wins. And if you are in him, you win. If you reject him, you lose. You don't have to lose. You can win. And so they worshiped him. Do you worship Jesus? I hope so. And if you haven't up to this point, I hope you realize in this moment that Jesus is worthy of worship because he is God, the Son. Jesus told them the same thing that the angel said. He said, go tell my disciples. Go tell them to meet me in Galilee on the mountain and they will see me too. And so the women, they went, and that brings us to our next verse, verse 11. Look with me. Verse 11 of chapter 28. You'll see it behind me as well. While they were going, that is Mary and Mary, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. What happens? These Roman soldiers, these guards, some of them, they wake up and they go to the chief priests, the religious leaders in Jerusalem during that time, the religious elite of Judaism. Maybe the guys looked like this because Braden took their picture with his iPhone. Maybe they looked like this, the chief priests. And the soldiers came to them, and they told them everything that had happened, Annas and Caiaphas. And how did those chief priests respond to the truth of the resurrected Christ? The same way they had when they wanted him crucified. Because their father was not God. Their father was the father of lies, the devil. So what did they do? They constructed a lie. Like some of you. Some of you, I think, right now, in a room this size, are living a lie. You've deceived people. You've maybe even concocted an entire universe in your own imagination. And I want to tell you this morning, you can be freed from deception and lies because of Jesus. The chief priests, they got together with the elders. And so maybe they sat around a table like this as the wise men of their day. By the way, just because they're old and just because they're called elders doesn't mean they work for God. No, sometimes they can work for Satan. And sometimes they may not even know it. And so they get together, the chief priests with the elders, and they're sitting around that table. And they're like, what are we going to do? I know what we'll do. We'll get some money together and we'll take it to those soldiers. We know what those soldiers really want. Those soldiers want their life to be preserved. Those soldiers love themselves. Those soldiers love money. Those soldiers love what they can buy with those things. And so we'll get a lot of money together. And so they took up an offering, those spiritual dudes did. And they filled maybe an envelope with Benjamins, as though they had those back then. You know better. And they took money. And they went to the guards. Those Roman guards, those tough guys, those special ops, they went to them and they slipped them some cash. Hey guys, here's some cash for you. Don't tell the truth. Don't tell the truth. Here's some money. You can get what you really want. Don't tell the truth. Tell them that while you were sleeping at night, that his disciples came and stole the body. That's a good story, right? Larry, is that a good story? That's a great story. The people will buy that. And by the way, people have bought it ever since. I hope there's no one in this room who's bought the lie that religion concocts that says that Jesus didn't die, didn't raise, is a legend, is a fable, is a myth. That even if he did, his disciples made up the whole thing. I hope you haven't bought that lie. And so the soldiers, they're happy. They go home. They can buy them something to eat. We're going to stop at Popeye's on the way. Get us some fried chicken, maybe. As long as their bellies are full, they're satisfied. But it had to cross their mind. What if the governor finds out? What if Pilate finds out that we fell asleep? Then we're going to get in big trouble. Then we might even lose our lives. And so what did the chief priests and elders do? They said, listen, soldiers, if the governor finds out, we'll take care of him too. We know his language. Isn't that what they said? And so my question is to you is this morning. What is your language? We need money, but money makes a horrible God. We need food, clothing, and shelter, but the creation can never fill the hole in your soul. You recognize this, right? That you have an empty heart that can only be filled with the resurrected Christ, whose tomb was empty, who gives himself. And who gives the Holy Spirit to come live inside of you so that streams of living water would flow from you like it did for Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and the disciples. But the soldiers continued to rot away, and so did the chief priest in their religion. Will you die in your religion? Will you die in your own attempts to reach God? Or will you rest and trust in the one who came to earth to pay for your sins? Many people bought the lie. Which brings me to the third and final point. Look with me now at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Remember the whole time the angel said, "Go to Galilee. Tell the disciples to go to Galilee." The women told the disciples to go to Galilee, and now they're there. And they meet on the mountaintop there, Jesus' home base, Jesus' operation of mission. The foundation was there in Galilee. And they go up on top of a mountain, and they're there on that mountain, all 11 with probably other of Jesus' followers. The followers that were referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The ones who saw the resurrected Christ. The 500 plus eyewitnesses. How do you explain Christianity as it is today? How do you explain the billions of people all over the world who worship Jesus this morning? Other than the fact that the tomb was empty, that he was resurrected. And the resurrected Christ meets them there on the mountain, and he says to them, his final words were, "All authority has been given to me by God the Father." God the Father gave God the Son authority over the cosmos, authority over the universe, authority over the world, authority over you and me. And so he said, in light of that, I want you to go. I want you to spread, and everywhere you go and everything that you do, whether it be your family, your friendships, your workplace, I want you to go. And here's what you do as you go. Here's the command: make disciples. Don't just get people to make decisions. Make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus, a learner of Jesus, one who wants to obey him. Make disciples. Among who? Just the Jewish people? No. Just the people that look like you? No. Among all the nations, among every ethnic group that there is, I want you to spread the good news of this Jesus and his resurrection to the people of the earth. Why? Because God loves the world, and that's why he gave his Son, so that whoever would believe in him, whoever would turn away from idolatry and trust in him, would not perish but have everlasting life. Don't you see this? When you see the resurrected Christ, you will not be able to just sit in a seat. You will not be able to just come one day a week. No, your life will be consumed with worshiping Jesus. Did you notice that's what they did? They did the same thing that the two Marys did. They worshiped Jesus. Do you worship Jesus? If he is not God and you worship him, you are an idolater. Oh, but he is God. And in worshiping him as Savior and as Lord, you will find that the empty tomb alone can fill the empty place in your heart that is made void by sin. And you were designed to know God as Father. And in knowing God as Father, you become his child. And you experience his love in personal and intimate ways. And you don't have to be forced to live the Christian life. You want to live the Christian life. You want to make disciples among all nations. All racism and ethnocentrism and cultural superiority, all of that stuff is gone. You don't put a flag before God. You don't put your country before God. You don't put your family tree before God. Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, and you joyfully submit to him. You don't boast in your political party. You don't boast in anything. You boast in the cross of Christ and in the resurrection. Make disciples of all nations, he says, and do this, baptize them. You say, what's baptism? I've always wondered that. Well, I thought you might be wondering that. I'm going to ask I'm going to ask Lewis to come out now. Jesus said, when you go and make disciples, I want you to baptize them. Baptism is immersion in water. Baptism is an outward sign of something that takes place in a person's heart, something that's taken place in Lewis's heart. When a person turns away from their sin, like Lewis has, and when a person puts their trust in Jesus, when a person recognizes that Jesus is God the Son and they worship Him, then the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them, and their sins are washed away and they're cleansed and they're purified, and baptism is a symbol of that. And Jesus said, when you go, I want you to baptize people in the name. In the name. Notice singular, not plural. You say, why you point that out? In the name of the one true God. There is one God. And He is in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name, one God, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons of the Godhead. One God in essence and in nature. Three in persons. The Trinity. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give Lewis an opportunity to testify to his faith in Jesus Christ. Lewis?
Name's Lewis Patton, 25, and I'm here today to be baptized with Christ and God. And I'm going to give you guys a little message of kind of how the Lord revealed Himself to me. So like the driving message behind what I'm saying today is how the Lord revealed Himself through me, through the gospel and through scripture. I'm going to quote and I like summarize from Colossians 3 and a little bit from Philippians 2. And that's the main verses in scripture that I really understood who I was and who I needed to be in Christ. Beginning of Colossians is, if then you have been raised with Christ, set your mind, seek things that are Christ, where Christ is. I'm getting kind of nervous here. Hold on a moment. I'm going to start over. If then you have been raised in Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are earthly. And as I read this, I really started to question, you know, what does it mean to be raised with Christ? What are these things that are above? What is the earthly things in me that I need to understand? And so I kind of contemplated these. I meditated over these for days, like driving in my car home from work, just reading the like scripture, talking to my wife. I don't, you know, what's going on? What is this to be raised with Christ? Bible study, with my good friends Michael and Molly Holt, and everybody was there. We talked about these, and so I started reading further down, and you go down, it says things like, you know, accept Christ in your life, you're hidden in Christ, and whenever God comes back to share His wrath, like, you don't have to worry, you're going to be hidden in Him, like, you're not going to receive that wrath. And then it said, put to death these earthly things in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, all these idolatry things, put those to death. Kill them. That's your old self. The whole point of Colossians 3 is putting on the new self, this new identity. And that identity for me was going to be Christ. I was going to lose myself, this sinful, this angry, this person that was filled with malice and hate and just sin, and I was going to kill that person and put on this new identity in Christ. And that was very powerful for me. God, at that moment, made me aware of all these sins. And He said, hey, Lewis, the only thing in your way is yourself. I've been in your life the whole time. If you go down about 3:11, it says, it doesn't matter if you're a Greek or a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised, uncircumcised, Scythian, barbarian, slave, free. It doesn't matter if you're in Christ. Christ is all and in all. And at that moment, I realized Christ had always been in my life. He'd always been in my heart. But I had built this wall between me and Christ, this sinful wall of all these impurities, this idolatry, this sin, and that I couldn't take the wall down, okay? Only Christ could take it down. And all I needed to do is say, Christ, I'm sorry for my sins. I believe in You, and He could take it down. And that was all that it took. But I still didn't understand this to be raised with Christ thing. What does this mean to be raised with Christ? And I got the part about the sin. I realize I'm, you know, very bad. I'm filthy. I'm dirty, you know. I'm not where I need to be in life. But I still didn't understand what it meant to be raised with Christ. You know, at that moment, like, I felt pretty good. I was like, okay, I got this sin thing down. I'm going to try to change my life. But then again, I was trying to change my life. And that was not the point of the gospel. It's believe and trust in Christ. And so, as I read further on, it said, you know, okay, I got the earthly thing. What's the above thing? And it says, for you have been raised with Christ, and you need to take on a compassionate heart and kindness and patience. Be humble. Be meek. You know, all these things. I was like, okay, I get that. Those are the opposite of what I am. That's Christ. Okay? So I read over to Philippians 2, and in there Paul tells the Philippians, he says, look, Christ is a perfect example of what it means to be a human being. That's what you need to be. Christ is 100% God. He's 100% human. And God loved you so much, Lewis, that he sent himself to earth as Jesus to show you what it takes to be perfect and to show you what you can never be. You were created to be like Jesus. Trust in him. Do what he says, and you will be like Jesus. You will be safe whenever I come back with my wrath, if you believe in me. So I really understood this to be raised with Christ thing meant to be obedient, to be submissive to Christ, to let him work through me. And so at that moment, I realized, you know, the importance of baptism. Christ died on the cross. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And then he rose to the right hand of God. That's what it says in Philippians 2. And God gave him the name Christ, Lord above all lords. And he set him at the right hand of God. And I said, why do I want to be there? I want to be there, you know. I want to be on Team JC. I want to go there and I want to be with Christ. I want to be at the right hand of God. I don't want to experience the wrath of God. I understand that I'm wrong and I need to be raised again with him. And all this being said, I read on a little bit in Colossians, and the end of it said, for be like God, he forgives, he's compassionate. But most of all, I do this because I love you. And that was like a really big moment in my life where I realized that God loves me. And he doesn't care how sinful I am or what I've done. All I have to do is believe in him and he will accept me.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord for his grace. The love of Christ that allows us to be on Team JC. I like that, Lewis. I like that. And because of your love for Jesus and your desire to follow him, I count it a privilege as your brother in Christ to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so I want to do that now, Lewis. Lewis, because of your faith, you have been buried with Christ and you've been raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus said, baptize them. But by the way, if you've not been baptized as a believer by immersion, I want to encourage you to be baptized. I'll be available here after the service, and I would love to talk with you more about what it means to follow Jesus, more about what it means to experience what Lewis has experienced and to be baptized. And then he said, teaching them. Jesus said, go to all the people who are baptized and teach them, instruct them to observe, not just to learn, but to obey everything that I've commanded you. And then Jesus gives them the great promise that when you do that, church, when you see the resurrected Christ, and then you go and tell everybody that he's alive, and then you begin to lead people to Christ and to teach them everything that Christ has commanded. You start in your own home and then to your friends and to your neighbor and to those you work with and to the ends of the earth. Then Jesus says, when you go do that, I'm with you always to the end of the age until I come back. And then I'm going to bring you to be with me forever in not the lake of fire, but the new earth. There will be a new earth one day. There will be a new heavens one day. And every body that's been placed in the grave that is trusted in Christ will be reunited with that soul that goes to be with him when you die. And body and soul will be forever and ever with God, with Christ in a new place with no suffering and no tears and no weeping. And so I want to take you back. I want to take you back to where Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were before they encountered the resurrected Christ. These women were grieving. They were broken. Maybe some of them looked like this woman on the screen. This grieving, broken, weeping woman. Do you see her? Everyone in this room, look at this woman. You will not be young forever. Your body is aging because of sin and because of the fall. And the older you get, the more pain you will experience. And you will not delight in that pain. And you will one day see others die that you loved. What are you going to do with the hole in your soul? I'm serious, and I'm talking to the unbeliever right now. Some of you will hear this, and you will go out of this room, and you'll say, I'll deal with it on my own. I'm strong enough to deal with it. There will come a day when you will be brought to your knees, and on that day, you remember what you heard this morning, that Christ alone can fill the hole in your heart and your soul. I pray that you would surrender to Him this morning, that you would submit to Him like Mary Magdalene did. It doesn't matter what you've done. You've been a prostitute. You've been a stripper. You've been a drunkard. You've been on drugs. You've been a liar and a manipulator. You've been a good religious person and you thought you could get to God on your own. Whatever you have done, Christ died for your sins. And you can be forgiven and have life. Turn from your slavery and put your trust in Him. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we worship You in this moment without shame and without reservation. And I pray that in the quiet moments of these next few minutes, and I pray that as Pam and the worship team leads us in this next song, God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do the work in our hearts, in my heart, in our lives that only You can. And so, Lord, even as we sing, would You speak to our hearts? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to encourage you to respond to what you've heard in God's Word today. And Pam and the worship team are going to lead us in a song. You'll see the words of the song on the screen. And feel free to sing along if you would like. Or feel free to reflect and to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life and heart. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't harden your heart. Don't stiffen your neck. Respond to the Spirit. And if you're a believer, prepare your heart to celebrate communion. Pam, would you lead us in this song as we all reflect and respond to the Lord's